Maureen, I have not stopped nodding our heads. Everything you say, our heads have been bobbing up and down the constant.
It's like she's like a warm bath, and you and I are just sitting here being like, yes, say yes. All the things that are so true. Hello there, ma'am.
What?
Hello there, I'm Madame. I'm trying to be professional and respectful.
I don't really do podcasts where I'm professional and respectful. But thanks.
How you doing over there today?
I'm doing. It's Friday. Well, it's Friday over here. I know, I'm breaking the wall. It's almost the weekend. It's great. Feels good. How about you?
I'm good. We just had the best conversation. I'm so excited for you all to listen to this conversation. We just interviewed author, speaker. She's a coach, Isabella Mannering. And she just blew our minds 100%. As far as understanding our bodies and how our hormones are really trying to guide us towards what we're supposed to be doing and saying and boundaries and all the things that we are pushing ourselves to do. That our bodies are, you know, trying to tell us not to do. It was fascinating.
I think it's particularly important right now, as I'm in the throes, and I believe you are too, of perimenopause, and understanding how different your mind is operating when you're in a different hormonal phase of your life, and how her tips can probably help us be more effective in our lives and careers according to where we are physically, biologically.
Yeah. I thought she had this really cool concept called detox, delegate, ditch, which we won't spoil for you. Listen, you'll listen right now when we bring her to you. But I thought that was real. When she said that, I was like, what an easy thing to remember. Detox, delegate, ditch. This is how we create more space in our lives, in our energy field, to show up, be authentic, have boundaries, and still be able to accomplish the things we want to.
She was super inspiring and so young and so wise. So wise. Yeah. I'm actually thinking of working with her. So I'm excited for everybody to tune in.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Before we bring it to you, we just want to remind you of two things. One, we have an email where you can send us listener questions. Usually when we don't have a guest, we like to end our episodes with listener questions. So please write in with any question whatsoever that you could use some guidance from the beans. It's MaureenandMelissa@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, even if you just want to say hi. We love highs.
Hi.
And then, of course, the best way for you to support this podcast and Melissa and I is to share and leave a review. So please take a minute to do that. And without further ado, here is our conversation with Isabella. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the show, Isabella. It's so nice to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be such a fun chat. I love your podcast. So it feels so surreal to be on it myself.
We are honored to have you. And I feel like every single thing that you talk about, I related to. I don't know if you know, we have a ton in common in our origin story in the corporate world, in these high impact environments, and then realizing how it's eating away at your body, your spirit, your energy. And you left that world to help. Is it women or all people really look at the way that they interact with stressors?
Yeah, I work primarily and, you know, market myself to women, but then I've had a lot of my clients say, hey, so I'm thinking, could we do a couple session? Could we talk to my husband? Like, does your work translate? So I've been expanding slowly to sort of the men that are in the community. And that's been a real joy, and venturing into doing some more like co-ed workshops in workplaces. So yeah, it's exciting.
It's amazing.
Can I ask what hit you when you were working in the boardrooms, like Maury was just saying, what shifted in you? What made you wake up and realize this is not for me anymore?
Yeah. Tell us your whole origin story, actually. Let's not even skip the boardroom part. Tell us.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Yeah.
So we'll start when I was 21. I was an Australian living the London dream. I was, you know, working in the big office in my blazers and my little clickety-clackety heels, just feeling very grown up. And I got the opportunity to go to the World Economic Forum in Davos in January of 2020. And I'm thinking, I've made it. I'm at the pinnacle. This is incredible. And I was there with a group of climate activists and leading researchers. We were camping in a tent in the snow, a big tent.
Wow.
To educate world leaders on Arctic risk. And it was really exciting. We met Greta Thunberg and we were there with a bunch of young people doing incredible work too. And on the second day of the forum, I went to a very exclusive sort of invitation only brunch on feminine leadership and feminine success. There were 20 women there. It was run by a think tank client of ours. And I said to my boss, you know, I think I'll just sit in the corner because this feels like something that maybe I'm not really supposed to be participating in. And she was wonderful and such a mentor. And she said, no, pull up a chair and join in. So we all went around and gave our introductions. I'm thinking, gosh, who the hell am I? I've got all these incredible women who are just at the top of their game in the corporate world or, you know, running some amazing nonprofit or the sustainable development goals. I'm thinking, this is crazy. And each woman took her time to sort of talk through the initiatives that she was spearheading to help women in the workplace and, you know, champion gender equality. And as often happens when smaller groups of women gather and especially sit in a circle, and I think a lot of the women were familiar with each other, we sort of started opening up. And the women, you know, were often spearheading initiatives based off their own pain and their own experiences. So I had an awful time with menopause, or I needed paid leave for my fifth miscarriage, or, you know, I had to leave an abusive marriage and setting up workplace protection. So it suddenly became this sharing circle. And I noticed it was, you know, hormone imbalances, period problems, infertility, toxic relationships, perfectionism, people-pleasing, imposter syndrome, not being able to set and hold boundaries. And I'm thinking, okay, this sounds like a lot like me. And the circle sort of came back around to me and they were really curious to hear what I thought the challenges were. And I had nothing to say. I sat there and I'm like, my whole worldview is shattering, honestly. I'm just thinking, like, really, is this as good as it gets? And I asked them, does it get any better? And the room was so silent. Mm-hmm. And these women who had these very polished, poised, sort of shiny veneers and had been so articulate. I mean, their facades just sort of broke and they looked at me with so much pity. Mm. And my boss sort of squeezed my hand under the table. And I just very quickly realized, you know, gender equality has taken us so far. And all of those women there were a couple of decades ahead of me and they had really blazed a trail. But I was like, you know what? I'm 21. I've got PCOS. I've had period problems since I was 12. I have a history of autoimmune. I am a type A perfectionistic people pleaser who has no boundaries. I don't have the best friendships and seems like nothing's going to change. So if I don't make a change now, and if I don't find another way, nothing's going to be different for me. And I was gifted the opportunity to look into my future and make that decision to find my own path. And yeah, to just be on such a high, like in the mountains in a ski resort with all these amazing people, and to walk away feeling very disoriented was very difficult for me, but I'm so grateful for that experience.
You were meant to be in that room. That's what it all means too. How much that set your path for your future.
That's exactly Absolutely. Where I was going. No, not surprisingly. I think the thing that's striking me about your story is your age in this moment of enlightenment. I mean, I think 21... right? You said you were 21.
Yeah.
It's really young to have this sort of awakening, you know? And I think not to say that my story is the average story, but at 21, I was just so focused on making a name for myself and the title and the hierarchy at the agency I was at and all of that stuff that comes with going to Davos and Cannes and, you know, being seen in all these places. How do you think now upon reflection, because I know it's been, you know, a few years since then, how in that moment do you think 21-year-old Isabella was able to take what the universe was providing you, like Melissa said, and really, it's almost like, you know, when those things happen and the universe is speaking to you, I always feel like you're in slow motion. You know, like I always say my spidey senses are activated. It's like, oh, something is wrong here. How did you do that at 21?
I mean, it's such a good question. And I think everyone has those moments of fracture where you're like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be going down a different path. The path ahead of me is seemingly not viable, but I don't know how to find my own path and I don't know what the next step is. And it did take me another 2 years to leave the corporate world. It wasn't like I suddenly just, you know, threw in the towel. I think like a lot of us, the pandemic and working from home and lockdown gave me a lot of time to do some introspection. I very much had a spiritual awakening. I read a lot of books, so many books. I listened to all the podcasts. I was really doing the work on myself. And luckily I grew up with a father as a doctor. And so I had that Western medicine view, but I also had my mom, who is like a rebel and a rule breaker. I mean, opposites attract. She healed her autoimmune condition, ulcerative colitis, completely through a combination of Western medicine initially, but then a lot of holistic and Eastern practices. And I was kind of ready then at 21 to say, okay, I think my mom's actually onto something and I'm ready to hear what she's been trying to tell me for a long time about my emotions. I wasn't ready. And it wasn't until 2022 when at that point I'd fixed a lot. I'd really worked on myself. I was setting boundaries. I was meditating. I was eating so much better. I'd done all the traditional air quotes work that we are told to do. And I had an amazing client who ran an all-male team. She was exactly who I thought I wanted to be. And she was 40, didn't have a partner and decided to become a mom on her own and had been through several rounds of IVF to no success. And this was her last round. And finally she got pregnant and it was just so wonderful. And she told us probably earlier than she should have. And her mom moved in with her, but still she didn't stop. She didn't slow down. And eventually she lost the baby. Mm. And that loss, truly that loss, at that point, I'm 22, 23. I'm thinking, you know what? I've done everything right and so has this woman. But clearly the systems in which we live and work and operate are not sustainable and women's bodies are protesting. And that's when I saw, okay, I need to stop blaming myself. It's not my lack of discipline. It's not my people pleasing. It's not any fault of mine. It's actually systemic. It's the conditioning. It's patriarchal. And women shouldn't have to step away from their work in order to conceive. Like our ancestors worked hard, but they lived seasonally, you know, and they were still able to procreate. And so that was then the final piece of the puzzle that put together what had become apparent to me at Davos. And I went, oh, okay, women aren't broken. We're actually biologically brilliant and our bodies are protesting and it's a systemic issue and our bodies are not in the way of us succeeding. And I think that's how I'd been viewing it, but our symptoms are the way. Our symptoms are the way through to a new world and a new way of doing things. And that's when I finally quit my job because I thought, actually, my PCOS will never fully reverse until I take myself out of this environment.
Wow. You know, and my dream is that one day we have corporate environments where that doesn't have to be the case, but you're yes. So right. I mean, I think right now it is a choice between your own physical and mental health, particularly as a female. So I'm going to ask the question Melissa usually asks at this stage, which is like, what do we do? So now exactly. We know.
I think everybody can relate. Like, this is so true. We all know we're burnout. I said to you right before we hopped on, I'm chronically exhausted. And I know it's just because everything is go, go, go. Because I have this really demanding boss. No, I'm just kidding. But life is just so chronically go, go, go all the time. And my hormones are a mess. And I work with a functional medicine doctor. I still feel dysregulated half the time. So help us.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about, so you had this enlightenment, but now you've written this. Is it one book or is it multiple?
I've written two books. So my first book is Hormone Balance for Dummies with Wiley, that classic series that we're all familiar with. And then my second book coming out in November, but you can pre-order now, is called The Power We Hold, Reclaiming Our Health from a System That Fails Women. And in that book, I give you the tools that I didn't have at the time because you shouldn't have to step away from your career to heal. And that was my journey. And it's certainly not a journey that I think is necessary. There is so much we can do. And the way I frame it is we are the current of evolution, right? Women, whether or not you choose to have children, our bodies are wired to create new life. And so that means that we're sensitive to the world around us. Our whole body sort of operates on, is it safe to be in overflow and create new life, which is a lot of resources? Is it safe to be ovulating? Is it safe to be navigating menopause in a healthy way? Or are we allocating resources to survival? And unfortunately, our bodies, with the way that the world is designed around men's biology, are in survival most of the time. And so I realized that actually all of the symptoms, physical, emotional, relational, rooted back down to the same thing. Do your mind and body feel safe or not? It's just one simple question that your nervous system is asking all the time. And from there, I drilled down into, okay, so if I'm trying to create safety, how do I do that tangibly? And digging into the science, there were very clearly five roots of safety and conversely five roots of stress that we all need to be working on. And this is my root restoration framework. So number one is one that I think we're all talking about, but I don't think necessarily understand the biological implications of, is authenticity. Do you feel free to actually be and express yourself?
Yep.
And for women especially, I think that's noteworthy.
Totally. And there's so much conditioning around who we're supposed to be in the workplace and how we show up and be assertive, but don't be bitchy, and the way that we dress. And there are these impossible contradictions. I call them, you know, it's not imposter syndrome, it's imposter systems. It's this conditioning of, I just don't even know who to be. You know, I can't dress maybe how I want to be and express myself because people think it's unprofessional. I mean, it's just impossible. We can't win, seemingly, it feels like. But biologically, you know, your nervous system feels really great when we're authentic, and it can be uncomfortable, but that's the work of undoing the conditioning so that authenticity becomes your default. And actually, that's the magic of menopause, because your body says, hey, I can't tolerate anything that is out of alignment with who I really am anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like perimenopause is already giving me a real solid dose of that. Like, nope.
Yeah.
You're either in or you're out.
It aligns to why you always hear women. I remember being in my 20s and being obsessed with Oprah and watching the Oprah Winfrey Show and hearing her repeatedly say, oh, you know, 50 is the freedom marker. And then she turned 60 and she was like, 60, you really don't give a shit. And I've heard Jodie Foster say that in interviews. Like, you hear women saying that. And it's so interesting because you're putting a science to it, which is that you do get to a phase where your body is like, well, the other stuff we were doing to try to fit in, there's no room for anymore. But, you know, your body doesn't have room for it, like you're saying. So you just, a light bulb went off. You know, it's not just about your age makes you not care. Your body insists that you stop caring, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I was reading all the personal development books in lockdown and like, be authentic, be yourself. I'm like, I don't honestly even know who that is anymore. She's lost. I have no idea. Who am I? What do I care about? What am I supposed to care about? And I think doing the things that light you up and that make the time go really fast, the things you used to love doing when you were a kid, is a really easy way to sort of get back in touch with yourself. I got an adult coloring book and started doing that as like a basic first step. Just to create something. It doesn't have to be anything major. It can be creating a new Pinterest board of clothes that you want to wear. Like, they don't have to be radical steps, but just doing more of the things that make you feel like you, because when your nervous system says, you know, gets that signal of, oh, okay, I'm being myself, and you're having those micro moments of being seen and known and loved for who you are, that's when your whole system can go, oof, okay, we can allocate resources to create all the right hormones in the right amounts at the right time now. It's all about that safety. And if you have trouble showing up as, you know, your authentic self, then the work is to undo that conditioning. And I think that sisterhood is such a great way to do that. And listening to podcasts like this, where you hear women being real and raw and sharing their stories, and that gives you the courage to be yourself. So surround yourself with people that are unafraid to be real, and eventually, you know, your subconscious will learn that it's safe for you to be too.
Mm. Okay, so that's one of five.
Number one.
Tell us the other four.
So the next four are conscious safety, and this is boundary work. So this is basically everything in your life that you're conscious of that's draining your energy and keeping you overwhelmed and dysregulated. The mental load on women, especially moms, is crazy, right? And we all need to be doing the work too. I say detox, delegate, and ditch. Like, if your energy is a bathtub. Like, you've got to plug the leaks at the bottom, right? Otherwise you're just constantly trying to refill and it's emptying. Like, we need a solid foundation from which we can just live our life.
For people who aren't watching, Maury and I have not stopped nodding our heads. Everything you say, our heads have been bobbing up and down the constant. Everything you say, like, I'm like, yes.
It's
yes.
Like she's like a warm bath, and you and 100%. I are just sitting here being like, yes, say yes. All the things that are so true.
You see
detox,
me.
Delegate, and ditch. So easy to remember. Bean, you need to detox, delegate, and ditch.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Everything you're saying is hitting so hard right now for me. I am you at 21, but I'm 43.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying her age, not to belittle. I'm just saying your level of enlightenment this stage is so fascinating.
I agree.
Third one.
Okay, sorry. Yes.
So number three, this is where we get sort of to the traditional advice, environmental. So taking care of your internal and external environment. So living in like a low toxin lifestyle, eating whole foods, getting the right amount of sleep, and just generally taking care of yourself and nourishing your mind and body in the ways that work for you. And, you know, working on any diet and lifestyle tweaks to your hormones. So for example, if you're going through something, whether it's PCOS or endo or painful periods, so doing the tweaks that you need to, whether it's supplementation or a low inflammatory diet. So that becomes quite unique and individual, just depending on what's going on with you. But it really dawned on me, like, humans evolved over thousands of years in very particular conditions, right? Like, our bodies work, but we're inside, out of sunlight, sitting down all day. Like, our bodies aren't broken. We're just not putting them in the environments and giving, you know, consuming, creating an internal environment that is actually conducive to our full health. So I find it helpful in a sea of diet culture, and there's always a new supplement and always a new tip and trick and hack and protocol. And it's like, actually get back to basics. You're a human being. What do you need? Sunlight, good food, water, nature.
And you were saying too that you realized where you were living wasn't conducive to the lifestyle you wanted, and you yourself just moved to the beach. You said, I need the beach, and you had never lived in the town you're in, and you went to the beach because you realized that's what you needed.
Thing too. Let's not hide that fact.
Yeah. It's not the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And that was also a big result of the authenticity work. You know, my partner and I actually met in Spain 7 years ago, and it was sort of on the vision board, like, one day we'll get back to Spain. And eventually, you know, we'd done as much as we could to really take care of our health in London, but we realized the missing piece was our environment was wrong. We needed to be in nature, green and blue space for our nervous systems. We both really felt that the city was just too overstimulating for us. And also, authentically, when I think about my happiest self, I'm just on a beach, makeup free, feet in the sand. And so it took me a good few years to make that happen. And I think it's when you're doing the work, sometimes it's really tempting to want to overhaul your whole life overnight. And it doesn't have to be the case. You can work towards things over the years. But honestly, since making that move and ticking off that authenticity and environmental box, like, my healing and my nervous system capacity has gone to a whole new level. Your environment, the space that you live and the community you live in is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? We're not even going to ask you the other two. You have to buy the book to read the other two, because all of this already has been so informative. But I want to know, Isabella, you know, obviously a journey like this is not easy, even for the guide and the teacher, the person who is coming up with this method. And it's really my mission to demystify that for people, because I think part of the challenge with self-help is it sounds like the author, the coach, the writer just woke up, snapped their fingers, ta-da, Cinderella, and it was different. I would love for you to just talk about what were some of the challenges you had, especially on the authenticity front, being able to get there. What were the three steps forward, two steps back? Like, take us into that dance.
I love this question so much, because I agree. I think it is so important for people to hear what it really takes, because it's really difficult. And I personally found it deeply lonely at times. You know, when I came back from the World Economic Forum, I was 21 and I thought, okay, I'm giving up alcohol. I'm going to not drink. And I was living in a share house in London. Like, none of us had any money. We're all young, scrappy, trying to make it. And then we go into lockdown. And suddenly I'm living in a house of five people who start bringing over their partners. So sometimes it's eight. And there's a lot of drinking and there's substances and everyone's partying and numbing. And I wasn't joining in. And I was really struggling with a lot of peer pressure. You know, people coming up to my room being like, oh, the old Izzy would do it. You're so boring now. And I really was in the trenches with that for a while. And sometimes I'd be like, fine, I'll have a shot of whatever disgusting pineapple vodka is being waved in my face because I can't put up with this. So it was certainly not easy. And at the time I gave myself grace though. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to run into the fire and get burnt a few times and go back on my promises to myself. And that's okay. Like, we can't all be perfect, but as long as I just keep going, I know I'll find my people one day. And I loved my friends, but I just knew that we were heading in different directions and we wanted different things out of our life. And that was a heartbreak in itself. I grieved a lot, the old version of me and the people in my life and the life I thought I wanted for myself. And it was deeply lonely, but I thought you know, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom. Like, you've got to know that there's no other option. Like, physically, emotionally, there was no other option for me but to do this work because I hadn't been listening to the symptoms and the signals. And that rock bottom was the gift because it gave me that resilience to just keep going. And eventually, by trusting my gut and being authentic, I decided to book a retreat, not knowing the host, really not reading the details, not even knowing who was really going. And I met a whole new group of friends who were like my sisters. Like, we just, you know, and I found my people in the end, and the friends I was with when I was younger, they're still my friends. They were there for such an important chapter of my life, yeah. But you will grow and evolve and change, and that's okay. And we have friends for different things, and that it doesn't mean anything, but I have people that I can be my full self around and who really see me and celebrate me for, you know, the shared traits and values and qualities that we have. And that's really special. So I spent so many nights, you know, especially in lockdown, I'm on the other side of the world from my whole family, just like crying, feeling so alone as my whole house is like vibrating with music. My bed's like vibrating and I've got my soundproof headphones on, just like trying to listen to a meditation going, I think I'm going crazy, but I also think this might be working. I don't know. And it does all work out. And if you have that knowing, just trust it. And suddenly your whole life is different and you've met, you know, the people that see you and know you and love you and are moving in the same direction as you.
Little baby steps with grace. Exactly. Giving yourself grace and taking little baby steps, even when you don't show up the way you thought you would. Yeah.
And I'm hearing, to tie in Maury's work, I'm hearing you have been very in tune with your intuition from early on, because you keep following, you keep getting these little nuggets and you follow them, which I think is really important for listeners to understand, that when you send something or you feel something, go with it, move with it, see where it takes you.
You know what is so interesting? Before we started recording, we were talking about Amy Poehler's podcast. And for me, you know, I grew up with a dad who's a doctor and my mom was an advertising executive. So I had a very corporate sort of paradigm of success, and you work hard and you follow systems and there's structures and there's an order to things. I never really had any sort of access intimately to artists or creatives or people who did trust that flow a little bit more. And right. So in lockdown, I really got stuck into SNL and sketch comedy. And there was something so fascinating to me about trusting your gut and being vulnerable. And it was just really like accessing a whole new world. I'm like, wow, people go on stage and do this stuff. This is crazy. They're not, you know, being perfect and practicing it 1,000 times for 2 months before they go on stage. And I think listening to podcasts with comedians and artists and creatives and just exposing myself to different ways of having a career and different ways of operating was really helpful, because I then just started viewing myself as an artist, which made no sense because I'm not creative, but I thought I'm a life artist and I'm going to find my own way and paint my own picture. And they were like my friends when I didn't really feel that I had any. They were like the people that reminded me that trusting your gut and doing the weird thing can lead to somewhere really magical.
Yeah. What a great way to put it.
Totally. Does your work, when you are coaching with people, because you're a coach, are you guiding them through all of these five steps that you were talking to us about?
Yes. And I have to say, because of my background, most women that I'm working with are, you know, they're at Goldman Sachs, they're at Deloitte, they're lawyers. They are really attracted by my left brain evidence-based approach, and my content traditionally has been targeted to that. And over the course of our work together, slowly we sort of start opening up and they're going, you know what, I think I want to go on a 6-month sabbatical and travel. Or you know what, I want to take a creative writing class. Because what happens when you're creating this safety internally is you've got more space and capacity to take on those creative projects, and you're realizing how much energy being yourself really gives you, and they become very intolerant to the things in their life they were doing for performance and validation. And I'm almost a bit of a Trojan horse. Like I don't say, come to me, your whole life will change. Every part of your life will change. Maybe I should start saying that, because it's true. I mean, every woman I've worked with has done a huge 180 on her life, motivated fully by herself and just the safety and comfort that she's found. And it's really beautiful watching them step into their full power like that and saying, hey, I can do anything now because I'm fully resourced.
Yeah. I mean, give people access to themselves and it's tremendous what they can do. And that sounds like what you're doing. Okay. So tell us, Isabella, if people want to buy the book or learn more from you, where can they find you and where can they buy The Power We Hold?
Yes. I've got it here. So I'll show you the cover. I just got my first few copies.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So exciting.
Beautiful. We're looking at a really gorgeous pink cover with some powerful lettering, The Power We Hold. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it. And I am really thrilled about it because I have so many stories of the women I've worked with in there, because I very much believe, like you were saying sort of at the top of the episode, this is a collective, like it's collective work. You know, yes, I'm a coach and a mentor, but working with these women is just as healing for me because we all have so much of the same shared conditioning and things like that. So the book is my story, their stories, and so many actionable tools. So yes, it's called The Power We Hold, Reclaiming Our Health from a System That Fails Women. If you put it into Google, you'll find it. Or my website, isabellamannering.com. And then I'm also on Instagram and TikTok at isabella.mannering. And you can find the spelling in the episode descriptions for this.
We'll link to all of these great links, because Isabella is such a phenomenal resource. I think, Isabella, you're speaking to something so vital, especially and timely right now, because there's nothing like the world we live in to overwhelm our nervous system. So thank you for the work thank you for the work you do. And guys, truly pick up this book. I really think that Isabella's work is life-changing. So thank you for coming here and talking to us.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.